Good morning. It's nice to see the visitors that we have with us today. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. We have visitors from a little all over the place, from Alabama, California, all over. It's nice to have you with us and to take time out of your travels to worship God with us. We're going to continue our lesson today and end up. And end up our study on elders. We've, for about the last 6 weeks, we've been looking at biblical leadership. And I appreciate your patience with it because, you know, some people think, what in the world does the priests and Moses and stuff like that have to do with leadership today? Some of it doesn't. But a lot of the principles of leadership are threaded through the whole Bible. Whether it is Moses, whether it's the priest, whether it's the apostles, or whether it's elders, there are some principles of godly leadership that is important for us to look at. The last few weeks we have been looking at the current in these, quote, last days, since the first century, the leadership that has been in the church, and that's been of elders. Last week, we looked at some of the qualifications taken from 1 Timothy and from Titus, and I've broken them down into three kind of different categories, and we looked last week, and ironically, the largest amount of the qualifications that God has bestowed to us about an elder was the category we looked at last week, that of character. To be a leader of God's people, one has got. There's no way around it. You've got to have good character. And one of the things we looked at was blameless. Blameless does not mean perfect, but I tell you, you need a man that a lot of accusations cannot be thrown against. You know, you need men as elders that are good, sound men. And we finished that up last week. Today we're going to look at family qualifications, and it sounds kind of weird that there's qualifications regarding your family. Well, you're talking about a man serving as an elder. Well, you know what? There are some family requirements that goes along with, and just like we've seen with the priest. That there were some requirements with the priest regarding a family. And then we're going to close up with some of the spiritual maturity. Again, and I've said this in many of the lessons, not all Christians will fit into the elder category. But that does not mean you can't serve God. That does not mean you can't serve a congregation. If you and I said this last week, I am not qualified to be an elder. But that doesn't put me off the hook of serving my God and serving the congregation. And I know many of you have that same attitude. I don't fit the quality of being an elder, but it sure isn't going to stop me from serving my God. And it's not a slap in the face if you can't be an elder. For example, women can't be an elder. But I'll tell you, at least to this congregation, try to keep the women from serving the Lord. I ain't getting in their way. The women of this congregation, they serve our congregation. Amen. They serve our Lord. And some of us men can take some lessons from the ladies. But the ladies cannot be an elder. It's not degrading. Doesn't mean they can't serve their God. Okay? Family. The husband of one wife. This says quite a bit. Husband of one wife. There's four words. It says a lot. There have been some lawsuits. I don't think they've ever gotten through the court system. I think they have been thrown out, to my knowledge. Females have sued congregations. You're discriminating against me as a female. You're violating my civil rights, not allowing me to be in leadership position. You're not the husband of one wife. God made them male and female. People have asked, and this is a regularly asked question, is this talking about polygamy? Or is this talking about the number of wives a man can, you know, the husband of one wife at a time? Yes. Addresses it all. You cannot be an elder if you're married. It's, some cultures practice polygamy. The husband of one wife. Well, I've been married before, but I've been faithful to this wife. The husband of one wife. There's a lot to be said about a couple that have been faithful to each other for years and years and years. But I made a mistake when I was 22 years old, married the wrong person. The husband of one wife. If we as Christians taught the importance of marriage more, Christians would not be in this dilemma of trying to fit square pegs in round holes. You can't tell me that there was people in Corinth that were married only once. Paul found them. You can't tell me in this day and age that I look out in this audience and I see people that have been married 50 years. 50 years. The husband of one wife. There's a lot to be said about a couple. Has anybody ever gone through a life or ever gone through a year? A month? A week? A day without trials and tribulations? And you go through them together. There's something to be said that you work it out. That you're committed. The husband of one wife rules his house well. And goes on to say, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Quite a bit of explanation there. Paul expounds the thought, not just husband of one wife. It would have been nice had he expounded on that one. Obviously, Paul, the inspiration of God, didn't feel and needed it. But here's what rules his house well. These two things, these two issues are some of the biggest issues and some of the biggest sticking points I've witnessed with people as congregations look at elders. They will try to do the round peg, square hole type thing with a husband of one wife. And, well, their children, while they were in the house, they were faithful. You might have had to duct tape them and hog tie them and drag them kicking and screaming to church, but they were there all the time. This explains, were they a good influence on their own children? How can they influence and lead other people if they can't even properly lead a household? We've looked at biblical leadership. The first thing we looked at, the first thing, first bit of leadership is in the home. Is in the home. Yes, a man has to exhibit that he is guided, taught, and was an example to his children while they were growing up. But what better example? What better example of leadership and influence when they leave the house? You can make it a rule. You're coming to church with us and going to Bible class and stuff like this, or you don't eat. You don't have a bed to lay in. I will tie you up and drag you every time to church. You can do that to a five-year-old. What better testimony when your children have grown up, are out of the house, and they can make their own decisions, and they're still faithful. And they are leading faithful families of their own. Faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. At what age? Any age. Do you quit respecting your father and mother just because you're an adult? Not if I valued my life, I didn't. My mom had a backhand, it rivaled Joe Louis. You respect your mother and father, regardless. You respect your grandparents. It was one of the Ten Commandments to be respectful of your mother and father. Spiritual maturity, very important for an elder. Very important. We looked at this before with character. They have to desire the position to fully understand the hardships, the service, the sacrifice, that it's not a position of I'm the boss, but to understand how you're on call 24/7. It's not, there's no such thing as your time. That kind of goes for us as Christians. You know, what I do in my time, I never see in the Bible where it's our time. It's God's time to begin with. But as an elder, and after knowing and understanding all of that, they are still willing to serve. They have to desire the position, able to teach, How can you have a man that is supposed to be a spiritual watchman if they don't know the Bible? And if they can't teach others, if they couldn't teach their family, if they couldn't teach their children, how are they going to teach and correct and encourage and enlighten the members of the congregation to follow the path if they don't know the path themselves? Not a novice. Paul explains a little bit, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. A novice, a newcomer. There is no age limit on an elder. There is no period of time after that, you know, that you can't be an elder until you've been a Christian for X amount of years. Some people grow at different rates. Some dive into the Word and just devour the Word and grow and mature very fast. And then I've seen other Christians be a Christian. They're one-year Christians 40 times over. They're still a babe. They never get past being a babe. Not a novice. You don't want a newcomer. One, that they get puffed up. Oh, wow, this is pretty sweet. I've just become a Christian, and I'm already in charge. Get puffed up with pride. How can you be a novice, a newcomer, as a Christian or new to the congregation? You've got to know the congregation. They have to know you. How are you going to lead the flock if you don't know the flock? And if the flock doesn't know you? Matthew 13, verses 5 and 6, Jesus has given the parable of the sower. And one of the kinds of the examples of the seeds were the ones that sprang up quickly, but when the sun came up, they withered because they had no soil. You don't want a novice. You want to see a man, how they deal with situations over time. How are they when things are going good? How do they react when things are going bad, when things don't go there? I tell you, some of the best examples I've seen of people are the examples of men that were in consideration for being an elder and didn't get it. Some kept right on serving just like they always have. Others got their nose out of joint and left the church. Some not only left the church, went to a denomination. And I'm thinking, man, we dodged that bullet as a congregation. A man was up for an elder, he didn't get it, and he gets all pouty, and he just up and takes his toys and leaves, and then settles in a denomination, and that was a guy that was going to possibly lead a congregation. You need to know a man, how he reacts. Anybody can do good when times are going good. What is it when things are rough? When people are attacking them? When they've got a target on their back? It seems like they're always putting out fires. How do they react then? They've got to be holy. Holy is not perfect. Like we looked at blameless. Peter. A flawed man. We've studied Peter. Peter was a flawed man, but he wrote in 1 Peter 2, be holy for I am holy. Not himself. He's quoting an Old Testament passage. But Christians themselves are called to be holy. Elders are supposed to be holy. Holding fast the faithful word of truth as he has been taught. That's what, as a spiritual watchman, they've got to hold fast the word of God. To defend it. They've got to be able to exhort and convict those who contradict. It's one thing to know the truth. Do you got the grit to go to somebody to correct them and discipline them when they're out of line? And do you have the grit to do it properly? Anybody can point out faults. Boy, as a coach, anybody can point out faults. The stands are full of them. Boy, everybody in the stands figured out that the guy dropped the pass. They're brilliant. Or that the kid missed the block. The coach teaches them how to not miss the block. Teaches them how to make the tackle. How to catch the pass. Can the elder go and correct improper teaching, improper understanding, and do it right? Not just scream at them like everybody else in the stands. Can they teach them? Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you, talking about elders, and be submissive. Oh, what? What? A dirty word. Submissive. And be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The elders of a congregation, the proper elders, are looking out for our souls. And we should be thankful for that. Just the way a parent or a grandparent cares for their loved ones. I'm sitting here looking at Kathy, cuddling her grandkids. An elder is like that. He is a shepherd. He's caring for that flock. That flock's souls are at jeopardy. And that's what an elder does. A man can have the qualifications. An elder is so much more than just a checklist of things. A man can have the qualifications and may not be a good choice as an elder. They might be too busy in their lives. Maybe they are too busy raising that good family. And the family requires more of them than the congregation does. Maybe they're too busy with work or travel with work. I know some of you, I know Ken, we keep in contact. Ken's all over the place. Traveling with work. Jewelry's all over the place. Traveling. How can you be an elder if you're distracted excuse me, and are never here to elder? You're never here to shepherd. I really need to talk to the elder. I'll pencil you in 3 weeks from Tuesday. Because I'm really big. A man can have the qualifications, but maybe not be a good choice for an elder because of life circumstances. Maybe they're not a leader of people. You can have those qualifications, but maybe just not be a leader of people. I've known, like with coaching, I've known people that had brilliant football minds. They knew football inside and out. The X's and O's, the strategies, the, you know, it's you know, fourth and two on the 2-yard line, and what do you do? I've known people that had all that, but they couldn't coach worth beans. There's more to coaching than X's and O's. There's more to being an elder than a checklist. Maybe they're just not a leader of people. Maybe their health. It would be a shame to put the stress and strain on a man that was in bad health. We look at presidents, how they age from stress and so forth during a term of office. James Garfield, I think he was our 20th president. He was an elder of the Lord's church. And when he was elected, he made the comment, I need to step down from the most important office there is to be president of the United States. Because he couldn't divide the time from being president of being an elder. The health. A man just may not be able to be in good health. He fits all the qualifications, but maybe he's sick. Maybe the stress would be too much for him. The lack of family support. It's a package deal. It's not just the man. They've got to have a proper wife, proper children. You ladies out there, you children out there, live your lives in a way where you do not hinder a good man from serving the Lord. Live your life. Make the decisions in your life where you aren't the reason a person is an elder. Because it's more than just them. They may just not be a good fit for a congregation. Congregations have personalities. Those of us that travel around, there's the big congregations, there's the small congregations like us. You know, there's congregations take on a different personality. You can have a man fit all of those qualifications. They might even be an elder in another place. Relocate. Move in here. It didn't mean that they didn't, just moving didn't mean they don't have those qualifications. They just may not be a good fit, especially right away, not being a novice to the group. It's more than just a checklist. Why some congregations don't have elders? There might be some not qualified at the time. Paul told Titus to set the things that are lacking. We don't have elders. We don't have them. We haven't had the men that were qualified yet. Let's change that. Maybe some people don't want elders. I've seen congregations that didn't want them because the people that kind of ran things weren't qualified to be elders. But they got to say so without elders. They got to be the boss man. They got to wear the boss name tag. But if there was elders, they wouldn't get that say so. The dangers of not having elders. You're not organized the way God intended. We are not organized the way God wanted. Yet. We will be someday. You've got the problem that everyone's a leader, and yet no one's a leader. Everybody has their you know, what's the difference in your opinion over somebody else's opinion? But yet nobody is in charge. Everybody's in charge, but nobody's in charge. You run the risk of a majority vote. The elders are the spiritual, mature people of a congregation. I've seen a lot of congregations that the majority of the people in the congregation would go whichever way the leaders, you know, they would just blow whichever way. Whatever way the, you know, if they want to go this way, let's go there. If they want to, we'll just follow, because we don't know. That's what we got elders for. Well, what if the leaders were taking people the wrong way? And they just follow. If you've got a congregation of people like that and you don't have elders, the majority is immature. It just goes whichever way the majority wants. Or worse than that, an aggressive minority. A real couple of loud mouths that are very aggressive, very, very persuasive, will get it done my way. Those are some of the risks you have without elders. What's a congregation to do without qualified elders? One, you pray. We've prayed a lot about that. I try every day about that. I forget sometimes. But I try to pray every day for elders. We study to understand what true biblical leadership is. That's been my goal, and I hope we've accomplished that in this series. Can't forget to pray. Men need to prepare themselves. You just don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to be an elder. You prepare yourself. It's a process. You prepare yourself for that duty. Moses took 40 years as a shepherd to lead God's people. And we've got to pray. I don't know if you're seeing a little pattern there. And families need to prepare themselves for their husband and their father to be an elder. Don't you be what keeps a good man from being able to serve a congregation. Went a little over today. Sorry. Don't know any other way around it. I wasn't going to take another week to finish that up. You guys have been patient with me long enough. I think we've covered it 6 weeks. Elders are important. It's the way that God intended a congregation to be run. Someday, I am confident that we will have elders. Continue to pray for it. Prepare yourselves, men. If there's the lesson, you've got the outline, all the scriptures that I've used. If you want to go back over time and look at them, I encourage you. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need to repent of sin, if you need prayers of the congregation, please come forward while Curtis leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand and sing.